once again, we are back with your morning tradition. Mike and Lisa Austin for a Wednesday morning. And Louis Tafari, our guest, on with us this morning. As we move on toward our second segment, Louis, I'm going to morph a little bit into something different here, because I think ever since the day I ever converted, I hear on one side of town you hear Holy Ghost, the other side of town you hear Holy Spirit. Of course, mostly Novosordo, I think I always hear Holy Spirit. But is there a either or? Is there a yes, no on Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit?
Oh, that's actually a really good question, Mike. Really, when you get into it, the intricacies and beautiful expression of our English language. In Latin, of course, the word spiritus is the same.
Yes.
They have one word to use for the two different distinctions. In English, at least archaically, there was a distinct difference in how ghost was used and how spirit was used. And you see that not only, of course, in like the Julia Rehn's English translation of the Bible, but you also see it in, generally speaking, especially in older editions of the translations of the Mass Propers, as well as in our common prayers that we'll say. Mm-hmm. So to make the distinction, the word ghost was in reference to the being, the third person of the Holy Trinity, the Holy Ghost, who is actually a person. Mm-hmm. Whereas spirit was used to refer to the attribute of God, his presence,
okay?
Not necessarily the third person of the... And you can see this especially in, like, the sequence for Veni Sancti Spiritus, where they'll use both words, the ghost and spirit, mm-hmm. and they're using it in the English translation of that prayer, at least, okay? Mm-hmm. So the question is it wrong to use the word spirit completely? And ultimately, the answer is no, but first thing is, it kind of is a hallmark of tradition to continue the word ghost, because especially in our prayers, which have retained the archaic expressions, for instance, Our Father who art in heaven. No one says art
anymore.
No one says art.
But we still have continued that. So same thing with glory be to the Father and to the Son and to the Holy Ghost.
Yes.
Okay. So in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. We in tradition have continued using those traditional expressions, because that's part of the thing, is to keep that tradition. The ultimate answer is yes, the word Holy Spirit is correct. It is it's correct translation, and some degree in modern English, that archaic distinction isn't even used anymore.
Right.
But, you know, in Catholicism, it's a good thing to keep that distinction, I would say. And like I said before, I think that's one of the beautiful intricacies of the English language. You know, we could have, like, you look at these other languages, like German and French or Italian, they might have one or two ways of saying something, whereas in English we have 10.
Yeah,
and
that can be a
little nuances to them as well.
And that can be a good thing and a bad thing, I think. It depends, because a lot of times you'll end up with a gray area then, and you don't know what somebody's trying to say. But I like Holy Ghost. I've always liked Holy Ghost. It sounds more powerful to me. And there's another thing. You'll hear sometimes, not in tradition so much, but I've heard the Hail Mary where they make it more personal, which I don't know. I guess, you know, like Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed, I know I got to say the whole thing. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, I've heard instead of pray for us sinners, I've heard pray for me.
Pray for me, a sinner.
Yes.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
It just makes me cringe a little.
Well, the only difficulty you run into there is that now you're dealing with a self-interpretation of a prayer that the church herself has formulated.
Right.
And that's the only issue there. And that's the thing. That's why I would dissuade people, because, you know, again, we follow the lead of the church.
Mm-hmm.
And the church has arranged these prayers in such a way, and they're hidebound to tradition. It's funny how, you know, we're still using these archaic forms in our prayers. I mean, I remember when I was in the Novus Ordo, I learned all these big words, and nobody else in my class knew, you know, in grade school, what was that word? And it's like, oh, I don't know. I hear it every single time I go to Mass, and I know what it meant, and they didn't know what it was.
But they're more beautiful words. I mean, if I were to hear Our Father who art in heaven without the art in there, or you'll hear people say Our Father which art in heaven. I hate that.
You know? It just doesn't make sense.
Well, imagine if you said Our Father who are in heaven.
Or who are in heaven, right.
You know, you say Our Father who is in heaven.
Essentially meaning the same thing, but it just doesn't seem right.
Sounds better the other way.
Who art in heaven. As every now and then, I need to say a thou art every now and then. Anyway. All right. Louis Tafari, we're going to cut you we're going to cut you loose, Louis.
Okay,
I tried to make that into a whole thing, and it didn't work. See how the language is leaving me now? Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit, there is a distinction.
Well, this has helped out a lot.
It really has. And we send you to Romanitas Press, which is romanitaspress.com. And we'll put a link up on our site. Louis, it's been a pleasure. And we'll stay in touch. And looking forward to the Louis Tafari Show. I really am.
All right, great. Thanks, Mike. Thanks, Lisa.
You're welcome. And there he goes.
Who's a nice guy?
He is.
So coming up next, our next segment, we're going to end up the show today with the NFL gets a raw deal, I think, sometimes. Well, no, rightly so. This is not a raw deal. These young guys who come out of college, are 20-something years old, and they get these mega million-dollar contracts. And a lot of times, they end up blowing their money and they're broke, right?
Right.
All right. I got a great story for you. I'm going to uplift your heart and leave you on a happy note here for a Wednesday coming up, all right?
Great.
All right. We'll take this break. We're going to get back with more of Magnificat Radio. We close up Wednesday morning. And if you're listening in the afternoon, we're closing up Wednesday afternoon. This will play. You know, we replay the show several times. So there you go. MagnificatMedia.com. Your morning tradition. Mike and Lisa Austin, where we are.
Living our faith.
That is happy music. I love it.
It certainly is.
This is like a French cafe on the corner, and I've never been to a French cafe on the corner.
But that's what it reminds
you
of.
Yeah. Welcome back to the final little segment of our show this morning, Mike and Lisa Austin. Here on your morning tradition, where we are
living our faith.
Magnificat Radio at MagnificatMedia.com, and our thanks to you for spreading the word too. We've some social networking, traditional Catholic social networking folks have helped us out and latched on, and we appreciate that.
Yes, we do.
It's pretty cool. So I wanted to quick give a plug tomorrow. Join us as we talk with John Veneri. John. Just got back from Italy, and then he's going to be speaking at another conference, and I can't remember the name of it. I have to ask him that. But John's going to be on with us tomorrow, specifically to talk about the upcoming October Synod, but he's got some other things he wanted to talk about, and I thought that John's a great guy.
He is.
And he's always
willing. A wealth of information.
Smart man. Mm-hmm. And if he, in fact, Father Scott referenced him the other day.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if whenever he has the time, which is rare, because he does all of this stuff you see on Catholic Family News and in the Catholic Family News on a website, the video, everything, one-man show. John does it all.
Yeah.
He has friends who help, but, I mean, he pretty much, he takes his own pictures. He does
one-man
his own
show.
Video. He's out there. So
yes, he is.
That's tomorrow. John Venerio will be joining us. I wanted to end up really quick with a couple of things. You said Maria, our daughter, asked me about this or was asking about this.
Yes, she did.
Apparently, I plugged the crowd birthing thing the other day, and then I never followed up with it.
Yep.
Yeah, imagine that. Me
she
losing
says,
my
would
mind.
You tell Dad to please tell us about this crowd birthing thing?
Okay, here's the deal. I'm just going to read you some of this story. This came from the end of July. Crowd birthing, or as they say, inviting throngs of people into the delivery room and documenting the experience on social media. That's crowd
birthing.
And
it's documented on social media?
Well, they shoot video and they go, look at the new baby.
Ew.
Which, when you think about it, is a beautiful, beautiful thing.
Well, it is, but come on.
Where's the
modesty?
The average number of family and friends present at a crowd birthing? 8. 8 people. That's family and friends. That doesn't include medical personnel.
Oh, wow. It
says here, the term is one I'm just starting to hear, so says baby blogger and birthing doula Bailey Gaddis. Oh, she is. And she says a lot more people are doing the... Oh, she even did it. Oh, Jay, California mom had five family and friends in the room when her son was born and recently attended the birth of a friend or a friend's baby.
Uh-huh.
Seven friends and family in the room. All those people combined with additional medical staff. Easily up into the double digits in the birthing room. They're not that big.
Come on. No, they're not that big. Oh,
anyway.
Can't you just wait out in the hallway?
Doctor, in the old days, Dad wasn't even allowed in there, okay? He was down in the smoking room.
Right, that's right.
My dad had to be called in. And we know from watching I Love Lucy...
That's how it was done.
When little Ricky was born, Fred was with me in the waiting room.
That's right.
That's my...
In the wedding room or the waiting room?
Waiting room.
Yeah, I know. I'm just joking.
Oh, man. Dr. Marjorie Greenfield, Division Chief of General Obstetrics and Gynecology at the University Hospitals Medical Centers in Ohio, she said, we had a little problem with it. They got a little too crowded, and the nurses felt they were losing control of the room, so then we cut back to three people allowed. But then they would, you know, they'd kind of turn a blind eye to it if family really pushed, which they're pushing more for it. But it was at the nurses and the doctor's discretion. They said, okay, fine. But if things got out of hand, and then they say, look, you guys got to get out.
So. Listen, I just want you there and that's it, you know?
Yeah.
Nobody else except the doctors.
Yeah. I'm even uncomfortable cutting the cord.
Ew.
I don't feel like again, someone more qualified should be in there doing that.
Yeah.
You know, sort of a medical procedure, really. Mm-hmm. Really, when they hand me the scissors, literally every time I'm like, what do you want me to do with these? Don't you remember? Yes, but really? You do it. I'm paying you big bucks. Can't you at least cut the cord? Anyway, so there you go. Crowd birthing, new trend. I don't know. We just bring it up just because it's out there. I thought it was weird.
Yeah, it is weird.
And this is one last thing, totally, completely another direction.
Random?
A little more manly. The NFL, which I can't wait for football season. This time of year, it gets, you know, the dog days of summer, but the kids are going back to school. Everything, you start seeing school buses, these nice, cool nights for the
crisp
most part.
Nights, yeah.
I am so ready for football. I like football. Thank you. The NFL's 27-year-old Ryan Broyles plays for the Detroit Lions. He's a wide receiver, okay?
That's right. You're going to tell me about
He's 27 years old.
Mm-hmm.
His contract says he gets about $3.6 million over the next 4 years, about $900,000 a year. Nice paycheck.
Yeah.
Not the biggest by any means in the NFL.
Excuse me.
But a nice paycheck, right?
Sure.
Guess what he decided to do?
What?
First of all, he went to what's called a Rookie Financial Literacy Symposium, which I didn't even know the NFL had those. And it's to help these young kids, 20-somethings, in their, you know, making $900,000 a year, what to do with their money.
That's a good thing.
But obviously, many of them don't listen or take notes or something.
Right.
This dude did. So he sat down with his wife, and they hammered out a budget. Imagine that!
A budget.
I'm going to make $900,000 a year, but honey, we still need a budget.
Mm-hmm.
They decided they would hold themselves to 60 G's a year, which is a pretty nice living. 60
yes,
grand
it is.
A year, you can live okay on that pretty
mm-hmm.
well. They do have one child, so not a lot of mouths to feed.
Right.
And Detroit, not the cheapest town in the world to live in, but
correct.
$60,000 a year. They drive their old Mazdas around.
Uh-huh.
And they live within their means. Everything else, right in the bank.
Good for them.
Love that guy, huh?
Yeah.
So, Mom and Dad, next time, you know, you see these rich with the rings and the blinging and all this stuff, and the rich NFL players, Ryan Broyles, 27.
He did it the right way.
He's banking all his money, lives on 60 G's a year. Let's see. They calculated out how much money. Well, they budgeted.
Mm-hmm.
He also has a history, it says here, of Achilles injuries and ACL problems. So, he says, you know, maybe I get injured early.
That's right. You never know.
Could be a problem. So, and he may have a second career as a financial planner. He goes around talking to high school kids now about financial literacy
planning.
And stuff. And he's not
great.
A financial planner by any means or anything like that, but he talks to them about budgeting and living within your means and stuff like that. Isn't that cool?
Always the good thing to do.
I love that guy.
Mm-hmm.
And so there you go. I think that's just about going to do it for our show today. Remember, John Venere joins us tomorrow as we get one day closer to the weekend. I don't know if we have anything planned for Friday. Do we have anything planned for Friday?
I can't think right now.
I really don't know. But we welcome you, and we thank you for listening here on National Milkman Day. And
And thank you, world, for listening.
Thank you, world, the World Wide Web, for listening. Thank you, View from the Pew guys. And what were the other guys? Pew Sitters.
Mm-hmm.
All you folks and the St. Joseph Businessmen's Association. All those social networks that are kicking it around for us. Thank
That's
you
right.
so much.
Thank you.
Spread the word. We are your morning tradition and the whole entire day. Magnificat Radio here at MagnificatMedia.com. Mike and Lisa Austin, where each and every day we are
living our faith.